to you on the board, Chairman. Is Mr. Washington in the room?
Washington, yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Again, good morning. Can you state your full name and ABC number if you still know it?
Yes, sir. My complete name is Harry Leon Washington. DOC number 086760.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
You are appointed for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A. Parole hearing to consider whether the parole absolute discharge or whether to continue your home arrest status.
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. With us, we have, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing.
Yes, sir.
I will begin the hearing with a short summary because you're further along in the process. You've already been granted home arrest. But still, to catch up the board, I think it's good to give a short summary. Mr. Washington is 53 years old, correct?
Yes, sir.
The crime of second-degree murder, theft and burglary in the second degree occurred on or about January 27, 1991. He was approximately 25 years old at the time of the offenses. On July 8, 1991, he was found guilty by jury trial. August 7, 1991, sentenced to 5 years for burglary, 4 years for theft and life for second-degree murder. The Arizona Board of Executive Clemency granted home arrest on October 16, 2017. He was violated for alcohol use on April 12, 2018, and continued on home arrest by this board on July 26, 2018. So that was fairly recent. I'll read a very short summary of the incident offense, and again, we're not going to make you revisit the entire case. It's just, again, to catch us up. On January 27, 1991, Mr. Washington murdered Ryan Johnson. That night, the victim was standing on the southeast corner of 12th Avenue and Buckeye with two females. Mr. Washington exited the nearby Soul Brothers Motorcycle Club and approached the victim. The victim made a comment to Mr. Washington, and Mr. Washington responded by pulling out a small caliber semi-automatic gun and shooting the victim in the neck. The victim was transported to St. Joseph's Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. According to Mr. Washington's Community Corrections Progress Report, he's in good standing with his counseling, with UAs and fee payments. He has full-time employment and has abided by his weekly itinerary with no GPS violations. So we commend you for all of that.
Thank you, sir.
So, sir, this is your sixth time before this board. Can you tell us how you've been adjusting to the community since your last here?
Yes, sir. Thank you. First, I would like to thank everybody on the board for giving me this opportunity again. Since our last meeting, if you recall, I had told you that I was going to work on myself and figure out what made me violate in the first place. In doing so, I went to Terrell's Behavioral Health. I'm still active in Terrell's Behavioral Health. During that time, I did an individual service plan. Individual service plan service is a plan that they actually look into the individual and see how they can help. One of my behaviors was drinking. And coming out, I was under the impression that it was going to be a bed of roses or something. I got over one of my drink and I got violated. When I came before the board again, I explained that I had drank and that I had a problem. So with Terrell's, I addressed that problem. I also found out that I had anger issues, relationship issues, and a few other issues that I didn't even think I had. But that was the beauty in going to Terrell's. During my early stages at Terrell's, I also was invited to go through their peer counseling course. I did it, graduated, got certified as a peer specialist, and enabled me to work in the field of behavioral health. That's what I'm trying to do now. I put in a few applications, I got denied, of course, which was expected. Under the circumstances, with the felony, it's kind of hard to get a fingerprint card clearance. But as far as dealing with the peer specialist self person, I'm dealing with it in regards from internal life lived experience, and it's very rewarding. I understand that, you know, things will never be perfect. And I think that when I first got out, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for that embrace of, oh, you made it, you're back, and this and that. And overlooking the fact that there was responsibility. So I think that I'm catching up with the understanding of that responsibility, sir, and, you know, I'm working my best efforts. So I think that's the greatest achievement since the last time we spoke. That and the fact that I hadn't heard, had urges or needed to drink or do any of the things that would send me back.
Well, sir, I want to begin by saying that I think this is a good reason why home arrest is such a good option for transition. It's not like this is the first time we've heard your sort of story, if you will. Individuals have been incarcerated for a long time. Return to the community can be very shocking. I think the freedom can be overwhelming. And it gets blurry as well, in my opinion, because alcohol is illegal. I mean, it's a violation of your conditions, but you're surrounded by it. And not recognizing that there's these underneath personal issues that we all have, by the way. When I heard you spell out the list of issues that you're confronted with, there was millions of people confronted with these issues without having been inside the Department of Corrections. So I think there's a reason why this board voted to return you to home arrest status. I think we saw promise and the possibility of you pulling out of a dive, so to speak.
Thank you.
And really making a transition. We want to see successful cases.
Yes.
I have to be careful about speaking for the board because we're independent, but I think it's fair to say we're invested in the success of people who we grant home arrest or regular parole to.
Yes.
We do want to see you do well. I saw that you're employed at Talking Stick.
Yes.
What are you doing there, sir?
I'm a floor technician supervisor. Graveyard shift. Basically, we just keep the upkeep of the floors. After the games and such come out, sometimes we have to strip. Most of the time, it's just basic upkeep. Something to get right away so that I can have a job.
But I think that's outstanding. You found work, you're being productive. It looks like, based on the short report, that you've been cooperating with your parole officer.
100%. Outstanding. I like my PO. Mr. McKinley, I like him. He's pretty tough, but I like him. Once you get used to him, then it's okay.
There's something to be said for tough but fair, right?
Yeah.
I think those are the ones that kind of make a difference sometimes.
Yeah.
Like a tight parachute.
Coaches. Like, you look back on that tough coach, and it's like, wow, that guy really made us run a lot of laps. But then you think, that was the great coach. You know, that's the one that turned the corner of my life. And
something that was amazing in regards to dealing with Brett over the months, well, actually over the year, was the fact that whatever went on, he would explain it. And that gave me the opportunity to deal with it. So, and that's greatly appreciated.
So to be direct, are you seeking regular transition to regular parole?
I would really like to be discharged from parole, but my reason is behind it. It's not because, oh, I don't like the process or this and that. But like I said, I'm practicing behavioral health. Behavioral health is very, 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 especially what just happened with Hacienda and all of the things that's going on. They become more strict. So the less that you have to explain in regards to your past, especially one like mine, is more beneficial. When I'm sent to an assignment, let's say in Casa Grande, you know, and I can't go, I have to explain the reason why. And it's like, well, I'm on parole and, you know, and I just barely got my foot in the door because of my crime. So, I mean, it's all a work in progress. It's progression. I think, honestly, that there's a possibility to be better than I've ever been. But in that, I also need the opportunity. So that's why my statement was made.
And again, I will ask you on a practical level, what do you stand to gain if you graduate from home arrest to regular parole? Freedom of movement, that sounds like one of them. But what else?
Well, actually, to me, it's progressing. It's closing a book in my life, a chapter in my life that was, I think, and not to sound arrogant or facetious or nothing like that, that I was basically cheated out of. You know, those dark years of drugs and alcohol and the this and that really wasn't a description of who I truly am. You know, it took a long time, but it's taken a long time to get this to a point of basically where I can have a hand on it, and now I have a hand on it. So although it's still there, I think I'm in full representation of Harry Leon Washington versus the stuff that Harry Leon Washington is participating in, and I'm going to do the best at that.
Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to go ahead and ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, the Alderman Shmuel.
Well, it's more of a comment than a question. But you said you're working at talking stick.
Yes, sir.
And you're working on the floors. I mean, and when I say the floors, you're out in the casino. You're not in the back, you know, in the back rooms or any place. You're out in the casino. Where was that, right?
It's not the casino. It's the arena.
It's the arena. Okay, yes. So when you're in there, well, but it's still around the casino. Yes. My comment was going to be that if you're working in a place that has that much alcohol around, it's very commendable that you're still able to control your urges and everything. So you've been very successful with overcoming that problem you have.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes. I mean, that was my comment. It was, you know, a compliment to what you've been doing.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon, not to cut you off, but one of the things that I realized through Terrell's is that I was predisposed to alcohol abuse. So that means that because I saw other people drink during bad times, I thought it was quote unquote okay to drink during bad times.
Right.
So now that I know what it is, I don't have to.
But so it's commendable. You've made that connection. You've been able to do that.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, nothing.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Washington, I'm just kind of going back looking through here, and I see. I think it's your wife, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. And I think that's been kind of the rock that's been keeping you straight. I think that was kind of the reason why we reinstated you, was because of some of the statements that she made when you was gone. But I do want to just say, you know, a couple of things, because I heard you say that you'd like to get, you know, removed off of parole and just, you know, get an absolute discharge. But I just want to say that I heard you use the term is progression. Mm-hmm. Several times. Mm-hmm. And where you trying to get to is a progression.
Yes, sir.
That you have to work on to get there. You said that you're in full representation of yourself now, of Harry Leon Washington. And I think that, you know, being on parole is part of that, you know, progression from home arrest to parole to, you know, after that to getting an absolute discharge. And I'll say that because it's easy, and you found out to go off path, mm-hmm. you know, to get violated and get revoked. And, you know, the goal would be to try to make sure that you're doing the right thing, and you continue to do the right thing, and you build yourself up strong enough to actually be able to do it. It's commendable that you're working, that you're doing the things that you're doing, and that, you know, in the hopes that you would keep doing those things that you are actually doing, and according to the report from your parole officer. You know, this time around, you've been doing really, really good. We're trying to do it, but I think that it's a progression that, you know, to look at going from home arrest to regular parole to absolute discharge at some point. And I just want to make this just one comment, and looking at your file, is that, you know, when you made the statement that you see, you know, other people drinking during hard times, it almost gives you that. I'm glad you did have the opportunity to go to Taro's, but, you know, I do want to remind you that, you know, just give us some thoughts. You know, you wind up losing a good part of your life,
yeah.
You know, because of that, and you know, back in the day when Buckeye World was jumping, and you know, everything was going on Buckeye World during that period of time, and drinking and, you know, being under the influence caused you to lose some time out of your life.
Yes.
And then, you know, when you got out, you know, just drinking, you know, almost cost you some more time. Well, it cost you a little bit of time, but you got reinstated by this board.
Yes, sir.
You know, to get back on there. But to think about the seriousness of what those things, you know, have cost you in your life, and try to weigh those things out, that, you know, that there's no benefit in a huge loss,
right,
for what you have done. So,
yes, sir.
You know, it's a progression as you go to Taro's, you work through it. You know, Taro's I thought that said they're employing you as a peer counselor, something that you could do there, that you're working at that Talking Sticks, that, you know, it's a progression, and you need to take your time and progress through it so that you get totally comfortable, so that you don't get those frustrating peers, or you don't have other outside influences, you know, help you do that. But I think you're doing a very, you know, a very good job, but, you know, at the same time of doing a good job, you don't want to get ahead of yourself,
no,
and then wind up falling backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make sure that you continue to progress and continue to move forward. And you know, how does it feel, you know, now to be out and working and have a job, and, you know, not have to look over your shoulder, not have to worry about where your money's coming from, that you know you have a check coming in? How does that make you feel?
First, I have to remind myself daily, like you said, that my rock is involved. You know, my family is the most important thing to me. And I think that is because I lost a great deal of my family when I was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I left prison, I had a whole family. I came back, I had a little sister.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was gone. You know, most recent was my brother that I was closest to, 2012. He was killed by a drunk driver. Parole won't help me not drink. My life has helped me not to drink. You know, parole is something that I'll do, you know, if it's a part of closing the page. But my not drinking, Mr. Johnson, is now solely a part of respect in regards to those who tried to give me the best upbringing that was possible. You know, I don't have to drink, you know? I don't have to hang out. I got a house that when I walk into, I'm home. So, you know, when I speak of progressing, I speak of having things that, like you said, I can call my own, and not having that extra part of a stranger coming to me and I have to introduce him to my grandson or to my granddaughter or whatever, as an officer that is supposed to keep your granddaddy in line or keep your husband in line. Sooner or later, a person has to get to the place where he understands that we got a part in life. It's not just the gift, it's the present. You know, and if we're not participating in the present, then we don't exist. For almost 30 years, I didn't exist. You know, you remember when you came to see me in Douglas and the things that you said to me? Yeah, I don't want to go through that no more. You know, when a man considers himself a man, then he's respected on all four corners. That's where I'm at. So, you know, not to sound arrogant or, you know, like I'm trying to say something or whatever that's negative, but because of this board, because of my situation, yeah, I've matured a lot. You know, I recognize the things that are unnecessary and no good that we were thrust into just because of the violence. We might can't change that, but we can help ourselves in them. And that's what I'm doing, so.
Well, that's very good. Let me ask you one more. I believe you said earlier that you went to Interos, you did some anger management.
Mm-hmm.
How did that help out with you? Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, a lot of people think they know what anger is, but we don't.
Okay.
Anger was based, basically, at least my anger, was on anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And the anger was a protection factor. You know, I get angry because I'm not going to let you, you know, just walk over me. I'm not going to let you just, you know, and that was deep-seated in regards to coming from a home where nobody was there but my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, I had lived a whole life under a veil of pseudo-protection. And it ended up me hurting somebody to the extent of them dying and me going to prison before I even had an understanding. Going to prison twice before I even had an understanding that I had a problem. And this is what led me into behavioral health, because imagine how many people are still out there suffering, using drugs, using their body, using whatever they're using, and don't even know why. You know, it's easy to go to prison, but it's hard to stay out.
That's true.
So, what I got now, I can help.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions?
Yes, Dr. Wright.
Yes, sir. I too want to commend you, Mr. Washington. When was the last time you used any alcohol, sir?
Before I was arrested, the day I think before I was arrested in April.
April of last year,
April, yes, sir.
2018.
April 2018. Or whenever I got arrested, that was the last time I used alcohol.
And how do you feel about not using alcohol? You know, sometimes when you get off of something that's don't feel right. How do you feel now that you're not drinking?
Free.
Free from what?
Drinking and everything that went with it. You know, my drinking was something that went along with my street life. My street life went along with my hurt. My hurt went along with the lifestyle that I was living that really wasn't a lifestyle to live. Not only that, to prison or death. So I'm standing before you because of the death part, in acceptance of the fact that it led me to prison. So me not drinking, I feel free. I feel exonerated from the ignorances that led me to prison in the first place, Mr. Wright.
Okay. As you said to distinguished colleagues that, you know, you see this as, may not be the words that you use, but this is a progressive situation that you're in, that you're moving up.
Yes,
let's say in your own mind, moving forward, what do you plan to be doing, let's say, 2 years from now, sir? Not that you're going to do it, but what's in your mind at this point that you might be doing 2 years from now, sir?
God's will, I have my recovery house already started. I got into behavioral health so that I could be a facilitator in behavioral health. I want to get a recovery house. And I want to get the recovery house for people that's coming out of prison. Like, Mr. Keona said, we don't have anything coming out of prison. I didn't have nothing but bread and gun. We forgot. We come out. Everybody wants us to do the best, but they don't give us tools. So we lose. We go back. Then we laughed at and talked about because we made a mistake that we didn't know we was making. I gotta fix that if I can. So my report is what I'll be doing in 2 years, sir.
So you're going to actually establish a program for inmates when they're coming out of prison. That's your goal for the next two, in 2 years from now.
I've already established it.
You've already established it.
I only need somebody to bag me, actually. And I'm going through different interviews and such right now with different behavioral health facilities to try to get it replicated. My last one was with New Hope of Arizona. So in 2 years, I should be there, you know. And this is why I ask for absolute discharge. Prison is one thing, but living is another. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to live with one foot hanging over the fence. And, you know, but yeah, in 2 years, that's what I'll be doing. And hopefully I'll be blessed already with a recovery house But if not, I'll still be working on my recovery house, but I'll still be working in behavioral health as a peer specialist.
With the group that you mentioned, are you with them at the moment, are you working with them at the moment, or, I got a little lost, are you working with them, are you working with Terrell, who are you working with now to move forward, sir?
I'm working with Terrell's. Mm-hmm. Terrell's is my fundamental, that's where I got my certification and everything else. Also, I'm still on the case law with Terrell's, because that's a part of my recovery as well. So it's not always about drugs, sometimes it's about self, in regards to recovery as well.
How's your family like? I mean, I know your wife is here, but and it's unfair to ask with her being in the room, but how's your family like going now, sir?
I hope it's great. It's great.
She can tell us. She can tell us later. She can tell us when you leave the room. That's good, so
sure. He was very good on the side. He looked around first, heard he asked him.
See, I was dodging. I saw that book coming.
I'm
learning. Yes, sir. Now, back on a serious note. Now, what? I mean, I know you're with terrorists.
Yes, sir.
And that you're moving forward with. So, what else do you do? Do you do anything else, or I mean, you and your wife, or what do you do? What's life like? You know, do you go out to movies? Do you go to church, or do you just lay back like the Honorable Mr. Johnson? What else do you do, sir? I'm glad you're here since y'all know each other. So what else do you do, sir?
Well, actually, and this is unfortunate probably to my wife on my behalf, but we've only been able to go to church and go to, you know, our praise services and such because of my business part. You know, I've been really busy moving forward. Are trying to move forward, and so that really don't have time. Mr. Montgomery stay on me anyway about, you know, hey, you got blocks, you can go to the movies, take it to dinner, or do something, you know. But that'll come. We go to church every Sunday.
What church do you go to, may I ask?
Faith Christian Center. Best church in Arizona, I think. Not to sound biased, but I say that.
We're not going to be disappointed with you.
The pastor and his wife, both of them are pastors, and we have subject matters like, what do you do after you're done? You know, and things like that. So you get involved, and it's a beautiful thing. That accepted me when I first came home. And you know what the pastor told me? When you've been home a year, then I'll let you join the church. Responsibility from day one. So, that's what we've been doing. Sorry.
And may I just ask a question, if you don't mind, who is your pastor, sir?
Sean Moore. And his wife is Erica Moore, pastor.
So the church is surely making a difference in your life and moving you forward and preparing you for the future, sir.
Definitely. Not just the church, but the interaction. You know, not just going to sit in the pews, but the actual interaction. You know, the part that you have somebody to go to when you need to talk, when you need a question answered. Since I don't have a male base in my family no more, I'm it.
So as a do the parishioners, the members of your church, do they know your background, or you kind of keep that to yourself, sir?
The ones that need to know. Pastor Moore knows. Pastor Erica knows. There's a few members in the church that I knew prior to going to prison as a kid. They go to the church as well, I bet know. But as far as like everybody know, that's not something that they need to know.
The one who know, do they accept you? The one who know, you know, they knew you before you went to prison, they know you now. Mm-hmm. Do they accept you as a part of the church and a part of their life?
Yeah, yes, sir. In fact, it's like, you know, I'm often told, you ain't nothing like you used to be, boy. You used to be crazy, you used to be, you know. So they see it, and I feel it, because that's what I want them to see. I never wanted to be an inmate. I never wanted to be a prisoner. You know, I never wanted to be that dude that got out, you can tell from a mile away I was in prison. You know, I wanted to be my mom's son, especially after she passed away. So, you know, yeah, they know, the ones they're supposed to.
Thank you, Mr. Washington. Thank you, Mr. Colonis.
Thank you, Doctor. Any further questions from my colleagues? Okay, Mr. Washington, we'd like to take advantage of this time to give your supporters an opportunity to speak before the board. So do you have anyone who wishes to speak before the board today?
All right.
Okay. And ma'am, if you'll state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Elizabeth Washington.
And what would you like to share with the board this morning?
I just wanted to share that I continuously support my husband 100%. He said that I'm his rock, he's my rock. We share that. And we know that we do nothing without God. That's why we have gotten this far. That is number one in our lives. And we'll continue to strive no matter what. No matter what comes our way, we can handle it. We got it as long as we stand together. That's it.
Well, that's beautiful. And do we have any questions from my colleagues?
That's all I told him. He was pretty shy. Mm-hmm. That's probably your doing, huh?
Thank you, ma'am. Any further supporters here in the room for Mr. Washington? Although I think that spoke volumes, ma'am. Thank you. Mr. Van Gundy, would you like to step forward? I assume you're the parole officer.
How did you figure that?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we have several people. So, okay, Mr. Benjamin, and they switch cases. Can you state your name?
Parole Officer Brett Van Gundy.
And, well, how are you doing this morning?
Well, how are you guys?
Good. What can you share with the board this morning?
Harry's done well. Like the letter that I sent, zero violations. It's been abided by the curfew. By the itinerary, call him task roughly 3 times a day to make sure he doesn't forget. He's taken his, you know, the first time he too much too soon, tried to get the cart before the horse, I think, and he's done well in this time of kind of taking a little bit slower, taking advantage of the resources that were afforded to him, and it's taken it pretty seriously, so he's done well.
I'm going to ask Mr. Van Gundy, out of a sort of a general respect for the process, that it would seem that you've probably seen this pattern before, that there's individuals that may slip up in the beginning and kind of get it together, so this is something you've seen before.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, I think with anybody, it's mistakes happen. It's what you do with them after you're done. You know, when he went back the last time, he could have been defeated and gone down that road, but he didn't. So he came out very motivated, seemed to learn, understand, but not just admit that he made a mistake, but that to actually, he seems like he's actually taken the steps to, this he was saying, you know, kind of get to the root of his issue. And I think if you do that, that helps, because you're going to keep repeating the same behavior if you don't figure out what the underlying factors were that caused you to do it to begin with. So he seems like he's gotten that.
Well, thank you, Officer. I'm going to ask my fellow board members any questions. No more questions. Thank you for appearing before the board, Officer. Okay, Mr. Washington, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. So is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us in the interest of time management. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know and understand before the board goes into discussion?
Yes, thank you. I want to say two things specifically. One, when a person comes and stands before you guys, it's like, you know, you got all kind of thoughts. You know, they're against me, they don't want to do one of the greatest things that happened to me was that one of the stipulations was, if he drinks, if he has a diluted UA or whatever, after I said before Mr. Johnson, in Douglas. It really gave me an opportunity to think how important it was to you guys that I succeeded, because he erased all of the leeway. There was no way that you couldn't see. I couldn't sneak in. I just couldn't. So he gave me the opportunity to do what I had to do. The next thing is this. I need to thank you personally for the way that you berated me. Because, you know, it really made me see that, like, you know, come on, man, it ain't a game. You was out, now you back in here, and they talking to you like, you know, you don't exist. Do you exist or don't you? That's where I am today. So that's all I wanted to say. You know, you don't have gifts that you can give people like yourselves or board members or whatever. All you have is display of your actions. So, you know, I want for you to be able to see me, like Dr. Wright said, in 2 years and be like, wow. You know. So that's my goal. And hopefully, you know, I'll be blessed to maintain that and obtain it. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for seeing me.
Thank you, Mr. Washington. Yes, the board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona?
Yes, sir.
And we're reminded we don't discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room. We're all independent voters, so if you'll just have a seat, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. You can just sit in front, sir. Thank you. Right there. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I have to say, and we've heard quite a few cases that in the context of people going through a process and slipping up, I think this is one of the great turnaround stories that I've heard so far, as an individual really waking up, learning the lesson, and getting back in the game, which is something people do. People have the capacity to do this. And there was a sensibility in some of Mr. Washington's answers that I really appreciated. They were direct. I don't think you could fake it. I don't think you could act it. I think they were coming from his heart. It's my guess, because I don't know that for a fact. But I think they were coming from his heart, and again, I think there was a certain sensibility to it. So I'll begin the discussion by simply saying that I'm comfortable with graduating under regular parole. At this stage, it was rehabilitation, and that's where I'll start. Yes, Joe, Ms. Gilbert.
I agree with you, Mr. Quinones. I'm just impressed that when he was violated for drinking alcohol, that he went and got treatment for himself. I think he has figured out that he had a problem, and he took steps to address it. And I think he'll, whatever problem he has, he'll do the same thing in the future. So thank you, sir. I agree with you.
Thank you, Ms. Whitehouse. Ms. Johnson.
I agree.
I agree, but we should put on the record, because sometimes they do listen to, they do go back and listen to the tapes. On March 7th of this year, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office did send a letter.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I want to put it on the record.
And thank you for that. I know that we had a letter, and I usually make a notation in my summary, and for whatever reason, I did not put it in there. I certainly wasn't avoiding it, so thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilde?
Oh, I agree.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and I'll be very careful with the language here. My motion regarding Mr. Harry Washington, ADC number 086760, is to grant general parole, but to deny absolute discharge of home arrest, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, I stated specifically it was to grant regular parole and to deny absolute discharge or home arrest, and to return to the conditions of release, although we know that he's already been in the community, I'll check some of the standards just to make sure that we're still staying with the program, and that is to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Any needs of assessment or referral that may be made by this parole officer, no alcohol use. I'm checking random tests for drugs and alcohol, but I assume that's standard for parole policy. I'm going to stop right here because I don't remember this was an issue with his past home arrest. Have you been able to drive a vehicle, sir? Okay, so we'll keep there. It's standard, no contact with victims or their families. Are you still paying restitution?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll just...
Not restitution, but fees for, I guess, an ankle bracelet.
Supervision fees.
Supervision, yes, sir.
By the institutional rules, by taking program as directed, is there anything else? Okay, well then, Mr. Washington, if you want to come back to the podium. Not that I'm going to tell you anything that you already know, but the board has voted to grant your graduation to regular parole with a denial of absolute discharge of home arrest. And of course, in the future, you'll have the ability to seek absolute discharge when it's certified eligible. But for now, we wish you continued success.
Yes.
I know what I said. I really appreciate your sensibilities. I think you said some very powerful things today. I think you said something that I wanted, like, written down and tacked on my bulletin board. It was so clear. We want to see continued success with you, so stay the course.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're all vulnerable to slip-ups, so stay focused. Any further input from our colleagues? Then I'm going to go ahead and bring this hearing to a close, and good luck, Mr. Washington.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all the board members. God bless you.